I know that taking communion is both a somber and serious moment, but it is also a joyful moment. Amen. Because without the work of Christ, where would we be? Oh, perish the thought. Where would we be without Jesus? Before we look into God's word this morning, I want to just pause and say a word of prayer. There are there's so much to pray for. But can you just bow your heads and hearts again with me as we just take a moment and pray? So, Father, we want to come to you again with a grateful heart. Thank you that we can pray. Thank you that you've called your church to be a praying people. And, Lord, there's much to pray for. There's much to praise you for. So we want to just take a moment now, Lord, as a church, lay these requests and lay our hearts before you. So, Father, you know where each of us are right now, right here. Lord, you know what burdens and what requests we've already been bringing to your throne of grace, personally, individually. And now, hear us, Father, as a body, as a corporate, as a family. Lord, we bring to you a request for the healing and the health for baby Marie Ange, this precious little baby that we've been praying for some time, over a year old now, and a miracle that she's even alive. But you know she has just recently injured herself or has been injured, and we pray for her healing. And so, Lord, in that hospital that she finds herself, and with that family that love her so much, we pray you'd comfort them and heal this precious baby. We thank you for the miracle baby that Amelia Rose is, John and Margaret Watman's great-grandchild, and we thank you that she is gaining strength day by day, and Lord, she's over 10 pounds now, and what a miracle that life is. So we rejoice with her mother Amanda and the whole family for her father Taylor, and we just thank you, God, that your hand is on that life. Lord, we pray for Brent and Elisa Robinson. We thank you for the news that they shared with many of us this week, that they're expecting their first child. And Lord, we rejoice with them this morning. And we pray, Father, especially for Elisa and this baby growing in her womb. And we ask, God, that you would have your hand upon that child. God, that you would give strength to that family. Bless them and keep them. We pray for all our children. Lord, for all especially these babies in these young years, for baby Jolene Thomas, we thank you for her. Lord, for our children here this morning, God, we thank you for their lives. We thank you for the faith of these children that we see here. We ask, God, that for all our parents and grandparents here at Gilmore, that you would give us grace and you would help us as we pass on the baton of faith to the next generation, that we would do that with integrity, and that we would do that, Lord, with your help. Father, we want to remember our farmers today, and we know there is a desperate need for rain. And so, Lord, if we could be so courageous as to be like Elijah and pray for rain, and Lord, and ask God that you would send rain onto the fields. Lord, that this would be a week where there is much needed rain falling on these crops. And we ask God that will be for your glory, and that we recognize your mercy in that. So we pray for rain today. Lord, we remember Hope Valley Day Camp, and we remember the ministry of that tremendous work. And we know that the camp life has changed this summer for them. But we know this morning there are folks gathering on that property to worship you and have their first radio transmitted worship service. So we thank you for Andrew and Nikki Masuelo, and we thank you for Jonathan Plump's help to them this week. And so we ask, Lord, your blessing upon those meeting over at Hope Valley Day Camp this morning to worship you in their first drive-in service this year. Lord, we remember Kawartha Youth for Christ, and we thank you for Jen Klusterman and all the staff at Kawartha Youth for Christ. We thank you for the mission they have this summer, the event that they'll be hosting, where they will be showing the Chosen video series and broadcasting that downtown on local radio. And so we pray your blessing upon that outreach and those that will come and see the life of Christ and presented in that video series. So bless Jennifer and all the staff at Corinth Youth for Christ and the wonderful work that they're doing. Lord, you know the other needs and requests on our heart this morning. So we just take a moment now and just together we pause and we pray silently in our hearts, and we bring people, these situations, circumstances to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you answer prayer. And we thank you, Lord, that we have seen answers to prayer. We thank you, Lord, that Blair and I got to experience a wonderful answer to prayer this week in visiting Blair's sister, Jennifer. We thank you, Lord, for the faith that is growing in her heart. We thank you, Lord, for the protection you've given us in this county against the coronavirus. We thank you, Lord, that our frontline workers have been so spared. But we pray, continually strengthen them. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to keep back this virus. And Lord, keep back the fear that it seems to be plaguing so many with. Give us faith. Give us trust in you, Lord. We'll thank you. And we'll be mindful to give you all the praise and the glory that you deserve. And all God's people said, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Wonderful. Well, famous English preacher Charles Spurgeon put it this way nearly 160 years ago when he preached on the shield of faith. He said, every Christian is born a warrior. Every Christian is born a warrior. I wonder, dear believer, if you think of yourself as a warrior, or if you think of yourself as a soldier in this life, I wonder, do you think of yourself as a member of the Lord's army? We sang that earlier. Some of us grew up with that wonderful song, and it's a good song to sing because it reminds us that we are in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Now, we don't see this battle with our physical eyes. We don't see an enemy attacking. We don't see tanks and bombers flying overhead. We don't see enemy snipers firing at us. With our physical eyes, we don't see Red Cross tents with the wounded and their nurses. But there is a reality. And I believe it's a reality greater than this physical reality. Because the spiritual reality existed before us, before what we see. And it was through the spiritual that the physical was created. Make no mistake, we are at war. And there is a spiritual battle that we are engaging in. Now, in the Bible, there are various metaphors that describe believers. In John chapter 10, we're called the sheep, and Jesus our shepherd. In 1 Corinthians 12, we're called parts of a body, and Jesus Christ is the head. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, we're called the bride of Christ with Jesus our groom. And in chapter 6, this passage that we've been studying now for several weeks, we are called warriors. We are part of an army. And the armor that we bears the name of our king and our general. And that is why it's called the armor of God. Now, from my vantage point, it appears that some people only want the peacekeeping Jesus. They're happy to follow Jesus as long as peace and love and universal acceptance are the command orders. From my vantage point, it seems that some only want the rescue Jesus. They want their sins forgiven and the gift of eternal life, but they don't want to change their lifestyle. They don't want to align their thinking and practice to the Word of God, the commander. Then there's some that only want the Sunday Jesus, or the convenient Jesus, or as long as Jesus doesn't ask too much. And there are some that only want Jesus as long as science and modern ideas agree. May God have mercy on us if we've adopted any of those distorted views. Those distorted views of the one true commander in chief. We are born warriors. If you're born again, you've been born a warrior. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our general. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Now, look at Ephesians 6. Let's read that passage again. Ephesians 6, reading 10 to 20. Finally, Paul's at the end of the letter. Finally, church, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, in light of that, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as for shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all. Did you get that? All the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Yes, yes. So we've been looking at the armor of God, the armor that we put on so that we can stand against the schemes, the lies, the temptations of the devil. Today, we're at the fourth piece of armor found here in verse 16. So let's look at verse 16 one more time. Let's just, if you got it there, you can read it out loud in your car or wherever you are. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. What a verse. So let's consider the shield for a moment. For the Roman foot soldier, who the Apostle Paul has in mind here, the shield was primarily a defensive piece of armor. And it was not a small, round shield like the ones used by gladiators in arena fighting or by jousting medieval knights. Instead, it was a large, rectangular shield, between 4 and 6 feet high, between 2 and 4 feet wide. They were made of wood and leather and pieces of metal. So I thought it'd be fun to have a little project yesterday. So I made myself a little shield. It's made of wood. And I thought, this is a rather big shield. But believe it or not, the shields that they wore were even bigger than this. Okay, so this is maybe 3 feet. Imagine 4 feet. Like the shield, they would put it down and they would protect their whole body. Now, picture a walled city. Picture an army approaching a walled city and they all got a shield. They've all got a big shield. When they put their shields together, side by side by side, they made a wall themselves. So when people were on top of those walled cities and firing arrows down, lighting those arrows on fire, dipping them in tar, lighting them on fire, and shooting them at the army, when the soldiers lined up their shields together, it created an incredible wall. And someone put them up high, and those at the front would put them down low. And you can just imagine what an incredible barrier it provided for that army. Now, because some of those arrows were on fire, they would need to dip those shields in the water. So before they got near the walls, they would dip those shields in water, And then when the arrows came, they would just bounce off, and they wouldn't do the kind of damage that the enemy would hope they would do. Now in the Bible, in the Old Testament, we see God using the imagery of the shield referring to the protection of God. Psalm 5 verse 12 says this: "For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield." Beautiful, isn't it? Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, "Every word of God proves true." Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. What a beautiful image. Here in Ephesians, the shield that we're called to take up as Christians is the shield of faith. We're battling an unseen enemy. We're fighting, we're coming up against flaming arrows that the devil and his demons are firing at us. And those arrows come by way of temptations and deceptions to bring us down and take us out of the fight. Those arrows take on the form of doubt and despair and false teaching. Now, looking back over the past week, perhaps even over the past few hours, maybe you can recognize in your own life arrows that the enemy has fired at you. How has the enemy tried to take you down or knock you out? Oh, he loves to fire arrows of confusion and division. He loves to fire arrows of temptation toward immorality and hatred and prejudice and pride and fear and bitterness, and on and on and on the list goes. He's got many different arrows to choose from. And sadly, I hate to say it, folks, he knows our weak spots. And he knows what tempts us. And he knows what might get us down. He knows when we're an easy target and where to shoot. Now, the first of the arrows that the devil fired was at Adam and Eve. The father of lies wanted them to doubt God and his word. This was the first of all flaming darts, and all the others have been lit from this one. All of them on some level having to do with temptation to doubt God and to doubt his word and to recognize the enemy's, dear believer, we need his word. We need to be able to discern what's truth and what's error. That's why we're called in all circumstances to take up the shield of faith. So I want to make a few points this morning, and the first is that comes from the first few words, in all circumstances. Notice that's how verse 16 begins. I don't want to pass over that too quickly. This is a call to be ready with our trust in God all the time. So when we get up in the morning, put on the shield of faith. It's a call to believers to lay hold of the resources of God's power day in and day out. From the moment our feet hit the floor, from when the time we have breakfast and we read our Bibles. Yes, we need the shield of faith even when we read our Bible. Do you know that? Because the enemy wants to sow doubt. Doesn't want you to believe the word. The enemy wants you to interpret the word by the world's ideas. So we even need to have the shield of faith on when we read our Bible and when we pray and when we come to worship. I don't doubt there's arrows raining down on us right now if we could only see in the heavenlies. Because he does not want you to believe this. He does not want you to be armed for this battle that rages. Lord have mercy. We need the shield of faith as we take care of our kids, parents, mothers, as you raise your children, fathers, as you lead in your homes. We need the shield of faith on. We need the shield of faith on when we go to work. You don't know what you're going to face on the farm. You don't know what you're going to face in the office. We need the shield of faith on at work. We need the shield of faith on when we get our groceries. When we watch the news. Oh, do we ever need the shield of faith on when we watch the news? So many arrows flying at us. So many ungodly things on our televisions. We need the shield of faith on when we turn on the TV and when we turn on the internet and we turn on our tablets. When we look at our phones. When we check our emails. When we visit our friends. We need the shield of faith on in all circumstances. All circumstances. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Thank you. Praise God. And you in your homes, you can say amen in your homes too. The Lord hears you. In all circumstances. So why do we need it in all circumstances? Because we don't get to pick and choose when the enemy's going to fire an arrow. I don't know when the enemy's going to fire an arrow at me, and I don't know when he's going to fire an arrow at you. So we need to always be prepared. We need to always have on the shield of faith. As I said, he knows our weaknesses. He knows what's going to keep us from being effective Christians. He knows what's going to keep us. He knows what might keep you from a closer walk with Jesus. Whether you're a young person here, or whether you're an older person, whether you're listening at home, he knows exactly what will keep you from that closer walk with the Lord. So he's going to fire. Expect it. Expect the arrows. Expect the flaming arrows. Listen, listen. Make no mistake. The enemy of your soul wants you, and he wants me, to stop trusting in God. He wants us to stop trusting. He's determined to take us down, so we must be ready, always ready in every circumstance, trusting in God's power to protect us and following his word. Notice secondly, this is a call to action. It's a call to action. In all circumstances, take up. Did you get that? Take up. The fact is, there's nothing passive about this whole passage. This whole passage on the armor of God, there's nothing passive about it. Look at what we've already looked at so far, right? Fasten the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And here in verse 16, take up the shield of faith. Loved ones, taking up the shield of faith is consciously putting our total trust in Jesus. In he who was crucified, buried, risen, ascended into heaven, and who will return again to take his church home. Amen? Come on. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Taking up the shield of faith, as Peter O'Brien put it, is this: laying hold of God's resources, especially his power, in the midst of the evil one's attacks. Taking up the shield of faith is laying hold of God's resources, especially his power, in the midst of the evil one's attacks. Now, it's been said that faith is only as reliable and helpful as the trustworthiness of its object. Do you get that? It's been said, faith is only as reliable and helpful as the trustworthiness of the object. And dear believers, the Christian faith is powerful and effective because the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. He's the infinite and the trustworthy God Almighty. Christian faith never fails because the one in whom we put our faith never fails. Can I get an amen? Thank you. I just love that. It's so true. Our Christian faith never fails because the one in whom we put our trust never fails. See, God has supplied for his warriors. He has resources for you and for me. But unless we reach out, unless we lay hold of them, right? Unless we lay hold of them, right? They won't be helpful to us. So we got to take action. We got to take them up. We got to put on the belt of truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness. We got to take up the shield of faith. The whole passage reminds us that the Christian life is active. It's not a passive life. My third point this morning is this: the faith gives protection. Faith gives protection. We need to actively take up the shield of faith every day because, as the hymn writer put it, we are prone to wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Kent Hughes writes about how we're so quick to rationalize sin. We think to ourselves, if God wants me to have this, if God rather didn't want me to have this, then why did he make me with such a desire for this thing? Or this person? Or this pleasure? We think to ourselves, oh, my neighbor has it, and he does it, and he's doing so well. But then comes the Word of God. you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Our Tuesday morning men's group has been working, we've been working our way through Philippians, and this past week we looked at the marvelous words of Philippians 4, 6 to 8. It says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about such things." Dear church, when we believe God's word, the shield of faith comes up and the arrows of the enemy fall to the ground. We are protected. I believe the arrows, the fiery darts of the enemy are only going to increase upon the true church of Jesus Christ. And perhaps the return of Christ will spare us from some of that. If Jesus returned today to take home his church, well, that would be a glorious thing. But until he comes, until we die, we must be prepared. We must stand firm in our faith in God. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9 echoes this call. Peter writes, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith." Resist him, firm in your faith. I want to close with two questions. What if we do and what if we don't? What if we do and what if we don't? What's going to happen if you or I fail to take up the shield of faith in all circumstances? What's going to happen if we do? What's going to happen if we do? Well, if we don't trust God, if we don't trust his word and trust his promises, then when the arrows fly, we'll succumb to our injuries. We'll give in to temptation. We'll give in to sin. That will lead us away from Christ. We will find ourselves conforming more to the world and less to the image of God's Son. You know, when King David was on his rooftop watching Bathsheba, he had the choice. He could give in to temptation and the flaming arrows of the enemy, or put up the shield of faith and take the way out. Because we're always provided a way out when we're tempted. We know that's a promise from God's word. And if you know the story of David in 2 Samuel 11, you know what happened. You know the flaming arrow hit a bullseye because the devil knew exactly what one of David's weaknesses was. He was weak when it came to women and morality. He had so many wives, and the devil knew this was a temptation to David. He pursued his passions of the flesh instead of trusting God, instead of looking to his word, instead of putting up the shield of faith. That arrow that hit David did so much damage. It didn't just damage David and Bathsheba and the child that died. It led to murder. It led to incest in the generations after him, and a terrible breaking down of the family. Facing the arrows of the enemy without the shield of faith will have terrible effects beyond just you or me. We got to remember that. Sometimes we think, "Oh, I'll let the arrow hit me. Whatever, I'll just give into this." And we think only we're going to be affected by it, and that's not true. When the arrows hit and we fall into temptation and we believe the lies, it doesn't just affect us, it affects those around us and might even affect the next generation. We need to remember that. But let's think about the other question for a moment. What if when we face the arrows, we lift the shield? What if we lift the shield of faith? What if we're warriors of God that are prepared in every circumstance, firm in our faith, laying hold of the promises of God? And here I think of Joseph, the son of Jacob, serving in the house of Potiphar. When he was tempted, when in a similar way to David, when the arrows of the enemy, the flaming arrows came at him like a dart to the heart, he held up the shield of faith, didn't he? He held up the shield of faith. He resisted the temptations of Mrs. Potiphar, doing the right thing, even though it landed him in jail undeservedly. And through it all, if you know the story in Genesis, you know God used that in David's life to bring about his purposes, not just for Joseph, but his beautiful purposes for the children of Israel. As David was risen to second in command of all Egypt, and used by God to save his whole family. Dear church, I wonder what arrows are going to fly toward you today or this week. I don't know. But I know the arrows are going to fly. And I know the arrows are going to be on fire. Are they going to be arrows of discouragement or arrows of distraction? Are they going to be arrows of division or arrows of doubt? I wonder what arrows of temptation you're going to find flying your way. I wonder what arrows of guilt and shame. I wonder what arrows of fear, worry, loneliness. Dear believers, when you were born from above, when you were born again, you were born a warrior. No matter your age, no matter your abilities, you are in God's army. And guess what? He's provided for you armor that bears his name. Put on the whole armor of God. Take up the shield of faith. And may God be glorified, and may you be sanctified, and may his church advance the mission of making disciples of all nations as we put on the whole armor of God so that we may be able to stand against the devil and stand for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let us pray together. Merciful Father, we thank you for the faith that you've given us. God, we thank you that we can gather here today in faith. We gather here today as a believing community. We are a community of faith. And Lord, as we read the Gospels and we read the words of your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, we understand that there are some with little faith and there's some with great faith. We think of when your Son was on the sea and the storms were raging and the disciples were so afraid that they would drown, and they woke up your Son on the boat, and he said, "Oh, you have little faith." And Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, and they were still. God, I pray that we would be a church of great faith. That we would be a church that faithfully takes hold of this shield. That we'd recognize the arrows of the enemy when they fly. And we recognize our need to trust you day by day, moment by moment. Thank you for giving us the grace to do that, Lord. May it be in Jesus' name. Amen.